We welcome all today at our weekly noonday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We welcome all those who are listening by podcast, and we pray that you will be blessed today and edified today. Today we are going to continue our study and discussion on the part two, the blood of the covenant and advantages of the blood. And we talked last week about the advantages of a blood, which is so powerful that it secures us. It secures us in right relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. So today we're going to continue with part two, and I will ask Brother Bobby to read. excuse me. Numbers 1 and 2 of the advantages of the blood, and let's look at that.
Advantages of the blood. It marks the territory. It shows ownership. It is like a street sign, a name tag, and a brand label. The blood allows God to say, this person, his family, and his property belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, you are not allowed to cross the line into their area. Think how powerful that is in spiritual warfare. Christians can declare that everything in their lives belong to God through the blood of Jesus. God says to demons that they cannot come into our territory to harm us. If we believe in the power of the blood covenant, no demonic force can cross the border into our territory.
Let's stop right there for a minute. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. You have the authority and the power to tell the enemy of God and his cohorts, you have no authority. You have no authority. And this is what when we were talking about spiritual warfare, this is the spiritual warfare of declaring the power that you have over demonic forces by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's not just the blood. It's the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It is the name of Jesus, yes, Christ, that every knee shall bow. And not shall, they will now, if you call it and use it. Amen?
Yeah.
I want to get some more thoughts about that, because that's kind of meaty right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of meaty. How are some other thoughts, Lisa?
You know, while you're talking, okay, my mind was going back on something. Satan told some people, you know, when Paul was casting out demons and some of the other folks were casting out demons, and someone came to cast out demons, and Satan said, now Paul I know,
yeah,
and someone else I know,
mm-hmm,
but who in the world are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? So if you don't know Jesus, you know, what Esther say, when she went to San for the Son?
Get behind me.
Yeah,
something
like that. Satan will get behind you, all right,
yeah,
but not in the way that it's going to be. And then also while you was talking there, having said that, one of the things that James said in his writings there, I think it's in the third chapter of James there, just lost me. Senior moment. But he makes a statement there about what we would do. Let me find it, because I want to get that right quick for you. But James had a very good point when we're talking about the Lord.
While he was looking for that, I was going to say this, that being reminded of, I mean, to me, everything goes back to the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the,
yes,
blood being shed, you know what I'm saying? We don't have redemption. We can't be saved. You know what I'm saying? That we're lost. Because people who are not saved by the blood are lost. And I just think about, you know, sometimes when things happen, even if it's happening, I can't say Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that comes to me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my warfare, you know, the blood of Jesus, you know, because it covers everything.
Excuse me.
It covers everything. It can lift me up. It can stop whatever's coming against me, you know. So that, when I read it, that's what I thought about in my warfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I could initially, you know, say, you know, in protection or in need is the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely. And what I was thinking about what James said, you know, we have this saying sometimes, say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mm-hmm. But then that should bring about a question. How do you resist the devil? Mm-hmm. And James addresses that. The statement prior to that statement, submit yourself unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you do not submit yourself unto the Lord, Satan will whip your butt.
Oh, yeah. All day,
every day. That's right.
Yeah, whip your butt upside down, inside and out. So we are to submit ourselves to the Lord, therefore submit ourselves to God. Then, and only then, will you be able to resist the devil. Then he'll flee from you.
Before we move to two, I just wanted to just take you back to the first sentence. The territory. It marks the territory.
Yes. All right.
It marks, it shows ownership. The blood over us shows ownership that we belong to God. It's, you know, it's like a street sign. Mm. You know, we have a name tag that we belong to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Son of the Most High God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We got that name tag. And it's a brand. You know, we hear that word out here today. It's very thrown around in norms. Like, oh, you have to have a brand. Well, let me tell you something. This is the brand.
All right.
Amen. The brand. This is, if you want a brand, here you go. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. This brand is applied to the wealthiest who are in Christ, to me, who are counting every dime in that page, in that checkbook, but know that it's covered over under the blood, and then I shall lack no good thing. Okay? You shall lack no good thing. There is no good thing that the Lord will withhold for those who what?
Love Him.
Amen. Amen.
My thing was in that, the latter part of this, that first one was if we believe.
Yes.
For me, that's the key. Mm-hmm. You can say all day long, oh, I believe in that. I'm with you, sister. I believe it. Mm-hmm. But when that time comes for you to be, you believe, but when the time comes, do you trust?
Trust. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what
that's
you
it.
Know, that's what stood out for me in this. If you believe.
If
you
we
say
believe.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought this. It said this person, his family, and his property belonged to me. I thought about Job, even though he allowed Satan to come in and do stuff to him, but he couldn't kill him, so that could be us too. Yeah. Satan can come in and do some junk, but God is still there protecting us.
Yes, yes. And then he's protecting us, and we believe that he will bring us through. Because he said, I hear the cries of the righteous and their afflictions of many, many, but he delivers us from what? From all. From all. You want to continue too, sir?
The second advantage of the blood is that it marks us as eligible to live according to the rules of the covenant and to receive the blessings of the covenant. We are brought out of the affliction, poverty, and curses of Egypt and brought into the promised land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason why that was inserted in there in this context is that we have to remember that we are the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And that was the promise God made to Abraham in that covenant. And that covenant extends to us because he said, you will be a blessing to many nations. And nations mean different, not races, but ethnic groups of people. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. We have that. You want to continue with us?
Yes, and in that same line of thinking there, if you go back and just focus in on Genesis 12, I would say, after the three blessings that he told Abram, say, you get out of the land, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. America, in my opinion, you can take what you want to, in my opinion, America is only being blessed because of their contribution to Israel.
Yes, period. I agree.
When Truman, I think it was Truman as president in 1948, when Truman stuck his neck out there on 1948, and Israel became a nation of people, Truman took a lot of heat for that as well. Okay, then you had all these surrounding nations around Israel have sought out to annihilate them ever since.
Destroyed.
Annihilate them ever since. If you look at 12, I think it's chapter 12 in Genesis, you see that I will bless those who bless you,
yeah.
And I will curse those who curse you. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Okay, number three,
mm-hmm.
Start with the word only. The blood marks you as a vessel to receive blessings. So long as we live by the rules, it is a sign that you belong to a privileged group, a royal family. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Somebody turn to 2 Peter 2:9 and read that for us. 2 Peter 2:9. Because we want to make sure that we got scripture backing up everything that we're saying here, line upon line and precept upon precept. So 2 Peter tells us, and the rules are not, I need to clarify, in this context, the rules are not like our rules of society. They are not the stipulations, but they are what God has given us.
The covenant?
It's like the Ten Commandments were guideposts. Mm-hmm. They showed us how much we need God. So as long as we live by that we need God and what he has given us, then it goes on that you receive the blessings of the covenant. You see, the Ten Commandments, some people say they're rules. Well, we in our mind, in our cardinal mind, we see rules as things that you have to do. No, when we obey God, it's because we love him.
Yes.
And not under compulsion.
Not first under the rules.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you...
I'm sorry.
You want to
tell me?
2 Peter 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
I have the King James Version. It's the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Mine said, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials.
Yes.
And to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Amplified. Now, if all these things are true, then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. And chastisement is not beating you, but chastisement is the Holy Spirit gently guiding you, guiding you. So we got to be, when we start reading scriptures, you got to look at how words are put in place in the context. Because we look at, in other senses, chastisement means to discipline, mm-hmm. to so forth. But in this context, it means that you are given the gentleness, the love, and the grace to live a godly life. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so I thought that meant... Okay, my understanding of what's in my Bible, it says, while and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Okay, so while continuing their punishment, I thought he was talking about punishing the unrighteous. So,
well, the when we look at this, what translation are you reading?
New King James.
The New King James. Okay.
NIV, I'm sorry.
New
International.
So it says the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of all temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. What there is going to be for the ungodly, they're going to suffer some things.
Mm-hmm.
And we, before we are caught up, we're going to see some things, and we're going to have to suffer some things before the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. You got it now. I mean, if you just want to just look at it, look at what happened with the tax bill. That was nothing for anybody that wasn't a millionaire or a billionaire. Listen. You know how Newark, New Jersey found out that their water was tainted? Because the Trump administration pulled back with the EPA on all water regulations. So there's nothing governing us with anything. So when we talk about punishment, it's not like when we see the real stuff that happens during the tribulation. But we're seeing it now. But we have to look at it for what it is and not just bypass it. Okay, because everything that this government does, it affects all of us.
So we're in the world and we will suffer.
Yes, we
suffer.
Will. We will suffer. And we're going to suffer, one, because we are believers. And the enemy comes against us with a much different strategy than he does with the worldly people, because they already, you know, they doom and gloom already. But he come against us. You're trying to figure out, how did this, you know, you look around and something happened in maybe your finances or with your children or with something. You say, how did this happen?
Yeah.
That's it. That's why you got to use your word, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every circumstance, over every situation. You clear with that? You okay?
I think a prime example of what both of we discussed right here is what we call the rich man and the poor man. This guy, you know, he had everything, and the poor Lazarus had nothing. You know, he was
with
bone there, and all of a sudden the rich man died and went to hell or wherever he was, and he looked back over that little rock there and say, can I just send somebody to get my brothers straight, you know? Mm-hmm. But they don't listen to the word of God. They have the prophets and all that. The Bible says, you know, what make you think you're going to listen to somebody? No, you can't go. Mm-hmm. I sent my prophet. Let them believe what they already have. It's not going to happen. So the ones that the unjust will be rewarded, whereas the one who thought they was being doing justly, they're going to be condemned to hell forever and ever and ever.
You want to finish that last sentence after Second Peter?
We didn't. We are all invited by grace, by the blood of Jesus, to become members of His blessing club. Grace.
All right. Since then, there you go. You can. Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to continue, Brother Bobby?
The third advantage of the blood is that it influences us on the inside.
Oh, yes.
The blood of Jesus cleanses our soul and speaks to our conscience. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7.
Let's turn to 1 John 1, 7. You got it, Doc?
1 John chapter 1, verse 7.
Yes.
But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. Amen.
Okay. Here's the Amplified. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. Okay? That's unbroken fellowship. With who? One another. Okay? And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all forms and manifestations. In all forms and manifestations. Okay?
There is an ongoing internal spiritual influence by the testimony of the blood of Jesus. We are led by its inner guidance and moral inspiration. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14.
Okay, let's see what Hebrews 9, 14 tells us. Hebrews 9, 14. Okay. Who's got the...
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Okay, that's the King James you have?
King James.
King James. Who, Lisa?
Okay, how much... This is Hebrews 9:14.
Yeah.
How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God.
Okay. How's this? How much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of His eternal Spirit, His own pre-existent divine personality has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God. Purify our consciousness from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Dead mind?
Yeah, dead mind. So, just want to let you know, you had a mind, but it sure wasn't alive. It was a dead mind. What you say, Lisa? You say dead.
Dead mind.
Dead mind. I like those personal pronouns. That was
in yes, that. Yes. Okay, so where are we, Brother Bobby? If we
sin by the Holy Spirit, if we sin, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit to change. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 9, verse 1.
Okay, who's going to turn to 2:16, 1 to 8:16, and the other to 9:1? So we all can just go to the book of Romans. Chapter 2.
2:16.
Yes, sir.
And the day when God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Okay.
And the other one was 8.
Wait. Let's get in. We want to try some translations or different.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you're reading, that was the
this
King James.
New King James.
Anybody have the NIV?
King.
Okay.
I have the NIV.
Okay.
So it's 2:16.
2:16.
12:17. Okay. So 16 said, "This will take place on the same day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares."
Could you read that again a little?
Okay. It says, "This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secret through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares."
Okay, then that is here. Amplified. On that day, as my gospel proclaims, God by Jesus Christ will judge men in regard to the things which they conceal, their hidden thoughts. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 speaks to that and I'll read that for you. And you could turn if you so desire. Ecclesiastes 12:14. And you know, Ecclesiastes is a deep to me. I don't know about you, but it's kind of deep. But it's just amazing how these these passages just let's see, 12:14. We have "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil." Now, if you want other scriptures you want to take in reference to in your study time, would be Matthew 12:36, Acts 17:30, and Acts 17:31, Romans 2:16, and 1 Corinthians 4:5. Those they will also support this. But Ecclesiastes gave it to you real simple.
What was Ecclesiastes' reference?
Ecclesiastes 12:14.
Okay.
"For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Okay, so where are we now? We're in Romans 8:16, right? Who's got 8:62? Romans 8:16, I'm sorry.
"The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God."
Okay. What you have, Lisa?
So I'm not the same thing. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies that our spirit, that we are children, God's children."
Okay. Here we have, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit assuring us that we are children of God. So it is the Spirit that assures us that we are children of God. So now people may bark at this, but it's the truth. It's, it just told you right here. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. You are not a child of God.
Okay.
Now, I just, okay. So, you know, you can email me, but I'll give you all the scriptures on that. But this still tell you right here, it says, because of your faith in Christ Jesus, you are now called sons of God. That's, I think it's Galatians 1:26. And sons in that context means you are children of God. So it's in the Word. So okay, all these universal people. Yeah, okay. Moving right along.
Now you got to have a spirit to testify.
That's right. You got to have a spirit to testify.
So if you don't, if it doesn't testify to you, you might not have a spirit.
You may take the might out.
Trying to be Christian.
But the Holy Spirit telling you, we don't want you to be Christian like, we want you to be truth like. She tried to bring it to you soft. No, you got to bring it to your hard. You got to like Paul said. We ain't doing no milk now. We trying to get to meat. To meat. Okay. So who's got Romans 9:11?
9:1.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I am speaking the truth in Christ.
Right.
I am not lying. My conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit bearing witness with me. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit enlightened and prompted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, one thing, I think in your book, The Amplifier, I think you said you have there, Solomon makes a statement there. He didn't say some things he's going to bring into light, whether it be good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's going to bring all things. He's not going to bring partial things of good, partial things of evil. He said,
All things
would be considered good and evil that would be brought to light. And that goes back to what we talked about in Revelation 18 and 19 about the silver and the gold, the economy, and all that kind of good stuff there will be, it's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Babylon will be in existence, but Babylon's going to fall.
That's right.
It's going to fall. It's going to be a thing of yesterday, of yesteryears. It's going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fall. And all the wealth, all the, I think you mentioned the tax cut there about the millionaires, the billionaires, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was man, that's a scam to me. That's my word. Mm-hmm. So you can see I say it's a scam. And we have to pay for it on the backs of the poor and the middle class. We have a budget, a deficit, and so many trillions of dollars right now, but the rich have gotten richer on the backs and getting richer on the backs of the poor and the middle class, and things need to be done, but who's paying for it is the poor and the middle class, not the elitists. Mm-hmm. They're not paying for it. It's us.
And what is that system defined biblically as? What you just described.
That's the world system.
It is, but this, I'm just wanting, I'm trying to stay with me there on what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
And Babylon, remember, in this context where we are now, Babylon is no longer a city.
Right.
Babylon is a system.
Right. It's a system
of a world, of a place and things. What you just described, what does God call that? Come on, you Bible students, you teachers, come on. Oppression.
Right.
Sure, oppression. Oppression. And oppression was one of the, we in Sodom and Gomorrah, you go back and read, it was not just the homosexuality,
right.
Yeah,
but it was the oppression.
Yeah,
that the oppression, that is God's a harps to oppression. Because what oppression does, it takes away the human rightness that God gave us. He gave us the ability to make choice and the ability to live and so forth. And what you have is that crushing foot of the enemy coming down, oppressing. And the more and more, the insatiable, and you watch this now, y'all, the more insatiable appetite of oppression, sin reigns. It comes in like a slow locust. You know, you see it not like, you know, you just see the darkness just slowly coming over this country because of the oppression. And God said, you know what? It's my people who have to cry out. Who, you know, we may think that there's nothing we can do, but as long as we stand in the gap, and as long as we intercede, and as long, and the next thing here is, I know this is a little controversy here, this next sentence, if we repent. Repent, I'm not talking about when you went to receive salvation, but repent of the things that only you know that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. There's little tugs and stuff, because he's working on all of us who are covered under the blood. He's tugging on your heart on stuff to do. So if we repent, you ain't gonna lose your salvation. But repent so that you can begin to, God can use you, because all of us are an integral part of his plan. You just praying, you just giving, you extending mercy, everything is all in the mix. And when we will hold back or we resist, we're hurting, we're stifling the flow. So that's what we mean here. If we repent and believe, everything is about belief. That's why he is called the unseen essential in our lives.
And this last one is 9:1. It said to me, Paul confirms so that we can see it from a man's reference that it's real. That he's saying, God doesn't lie. He don't have to make that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're reading it and you're listening real fast, you can kind of miss that. You know what I mean? Paul wrote it, so Paul was saying, I'm telling you this because it's real and for real with me. You know, and there's no reason for me to lie to you about it, because a lot of times people think that Christians are just selling them some far-fetched stories, some fantasy, all the fantasy stuff that they have, selling some kind of far fantasy, he's saying that, I'm confirming this because I personally believe it, I can attest to it, this is like our testimonies, we are giving our testimonies.
That's very good. That's good. And that's something that, did you bring that, I'll tell you, whenever I'm ministering to especially people who don't know the word, or they love God but they don't know who he is and everything, I start off by telling them, look, this is not the gospel of McLeod. This is not my word. What I'm about to tell you is not fluff and fold to say, okay, here's a little something to make you feel better today. This is about your eternal soul. And even as long as you're on this earth in this body, how you can have assurances that you are secure in God. And if God be for you, who dare be against you? So I just wanted to say, if we repent and believe,
if we repent and believe, the Holy Spirit guarantees us that we are no longer under condemnation.
And that's
the entire chapter of Romans 8.
And we need to, that Romans 8 chapter is something that all of us who believers, we need to really get it all in our inners, because that's the kind of edification for unbelievers, and even for those in the household of faith. Because we got a lot of brothers and sisters that are on crutches and on walkers. Not because I'm talking about spiritual crutches and spiritual canes, that they don't see anything. they hear about people talking about, oh, this wonderful transformation and things, that, and ain't nothing happening with them. And that's when you go into Romans 8 and you get it in you, and the Holy Spirit will use, he'll bring that to you when you need it. It will come right out of it and it'll flow through you. And they're like, oh. And maybe you'll say, oh, you know.
Right.
You know, whoa, you know. And that's what we need. That's what we need. Now, we're a little past one. We can just go ahead quickly and continue this, or we can hold it till next week. What do you want to do? We can go through this quickly, or you want to hold it till next week? Yay or nay?
Nay, because some people are long-winded in here.
That would be me. That would be me. Okay. Well, let's quickly go through this because it's not good to tack it on and leave it. But Brother Bobby, if you would go ahead, we'll close.
If we Christians believe in the blood, we are saved. We cross over in the covenant of grace.
Okay. Do you know? Okay, that's the covenant of grace. And that's another subject that we really need to look into, because there's some misrepresentations of grace and some misinterpretations of grace. But for the sake of time, let's go on.
This blood covenant provides us with these three advantages during this lifetime. Marked territory, the demons cannot attack us. Blessings restored, we receive all health, wisdom, and provision. Inner leading, we are shown how to walk in grace and purity. Through these three advantages, the blood of Jesus gives us victory over the enemy in spiritual warfare. Revelations chapter 10, verses 10 through 11.
You read that when you get home.
Notice that the emphasis of the attacks of Satan has to do with the acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
The blood is the guarantee to us that we are forgiven, and thus operate as a shield against demonic attack. The spiritual voice of the Lord of the blood saying that we are not condemned is stronger than the demonic voice of condemnation. By making use of the spiritual power of the blood of Jesus, we can have victory over Satan. However, the blood must be put in effect and backed up by our own life and death commitment. It must be placed on the doorpost of our bodies, mind, and souls.
Okay.
When we understand these advantages of the covenant blood, we can believe and activate its power in our lives. There is power in the blood of Jesus, and through it, we can overcome every attack of Satan. And the church said, amen.
Okay, and here's your reference scriptures. So, when you go back in your study time and look this over, I think you'll get even more. You'll get even more encouragement and so forth.
When we come next time, can we talk about the backed up by our own life and death commitment? It seems like we smoothed over that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can have a life commitment, but we don't ever talk about a death commitment.
Yeah, and the death commitment is not necessarily the death of your physical body. It's the death of your old man.
Yes. That's what you're giving up.
Right. Yes. What you submitted and confessed to as your sin. You are dying daily. Yes. You're dying daily. That's what, in this context, what
right.
we mean.
I'm
not of your physical, but of your old man, the sin nature that you were born into.
Well, that's saying we talk a lot about life and living in Jesus and living.
Yeah, well,
life,
yeah,
life,
we
life,
can.
We don't
we,
talk
yeah.
a lot about.
Just note that,
dying
and let's have some discussion on that.
Okay.
Sure. So, any quick questions? Or Sister Jackson said we're too long winded.
I like this part on here where it said we hold the blood is a shield against the
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that word shield.
Mm-hmm.
Shield.
Yeah, it's the cover. Shield is covering. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the word shield because it like gives
yeah,
some
you, I mean,
oomph.
You
yeah.
a big, better picture of it. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, but it said the demons cannot attack us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they do.
No, let me tell you, when you feel there are times you know when something's coming up against you.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you what you do. I am covered under the blood of Jesus, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And the blood of Jesus is the blood sacrifice that gives me all provision and all security. You have no authority. The blood of Jesus covers me. And when you start speaking that out of your mouth, you will see some things change. But I've been there like that, and I got too caught up in the situation and the circumstances. And I, you know, I'm like one side of it. I know God, and, you know, but this is rough. You know, this is hard. But you gotta discipline yourself to open your mouth and speak the word of God. That's why you gotta read it. And even though you don't understand it or so forth, when you read it, what you're saying is that I am eating this, and just like you eat natural food, you don't get all the nutrients and all the stuff when you're chewing it in your mouth and it tastes good. It's got to go through and process. That's the way the word is. And then when you start going through stuff, the Holy Spirit will bring the word of God up. And when you start speaking it out your mouth, you're like a tough warrior now. Come with it. Come with it, because it begins to energize you.
Amen.
But that's what we got to do. And I tell you, I confess, I fell short of all the stuff, you know, and I'm saying, yeah, I know. Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, I know. You know, and it's like the Holy Spirit saying, now what you going to do here? Now, we ain't playing no three game chess here. Come on now. So, Father, we just thank you for this time of study and understanding, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us understanding of truth and edification. Lord, I pray that your children here today will be blessed immensely by your word, that it will manifest itself in situations where they can demonstrate the power of the blood and the power of your word over every situation, circumstance that they come up in life. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen.